Terry, Al John, and Steven here with you. A huge, huge week of wrestling news. I mean, huge. Hello.
Here.
We're going to talk about all of that stuff. Heyo. We're going to talk about that stuff here momentarily about Al Terry. Now, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that you can subscribe and like our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube. And when you do that, you actually help us not only get higher up in the wrestling podcast rankings, but every little bit helps in terms of our subscriber base, in terms of you tweeting out and sharing over social media that you're listening to Pro Wrestling Cast. You can check out our entire podcast there at prowrestlingcast.com. And not only that, but you can also check out when some of our affiliates have these great sales, like the WWE shop, and you know, they recently had this St. Patrick's. You can get those videos there. All those links for Amazon, you know, High Spots, where you can get great shoot videos and so much more, as well as WWE Network, which you can sign up right for free. It's unbelievable for new subscribers, and also the WWE shop. And you can do all of that and support this podcast by logging on to ProWrestlingCast.com. Now, let's get on with the show.
Listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast.
Shut up! My time has come, and that's the bottom line.
With your hosts, Al John and Steven.
I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company.
It's Pro Wrestling Cast, for a weekly look into the world of professional wrestling.
I'm gonna reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand.
Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast.
I always try to do what's best for business.
Have a question or just want to comment? Leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792.
Or how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
And now, Pro Wrestling Cast.
Pro Wrestling Cast, your week of news and commentary from the squared circle. I am your host, Al John Go, professional broadcaster, wrestling fan for life. Also joined by my illustrious co-host. He is the wrestling historian, the man with the lead-lined glove of injustice, the coal miner's glove, Mr. Stephen Anthony. How are you, sir?
I'm literally wearing a Pro Wrestling Cast.
I knew it. I love it.
You get it?
Yeah. Are you okay? Are you like the Iron Mike Sharp of this podcast?
No, I'm pretty good. Well, I was, you know, it's like I'm going to wear it for years like Bob Orton.
Cowboy Bob Orton.
Jump people with it at my discretion. But, you know,
it's funny. The cast is an interesting weapon of choice because, like I said, Iron Mike Sharp had the cast for a while. Cowboy Bob had the cast for a while.
Right.
Owen had it. Owen had it, right.
In a rare sling, too. 96, he did it. And I think he was just like, you know, this angle, the Bob Orton angle is so cool. I'm going to do it, too. You know, they did it the exact same way. But, yeah.
Some things just don't go out of style, like the Pro Wrestling Cast.
Yeah. Well, for those who don't know, I had a fun skin graft today. It wasn't a big deal or anything. And I had a good time getting it, and you know, it was an interesting life experience. And to quote the seminal Swamp Pop Louisiana death metal band Acid Bath, "Slice me, dice me, I want to die screaming."
Nice. It sounds like John Moxley's theme song.
There was some CZW-esque moments for me this morning. Yes.
I was gonna say, man, that is hardcore, man. You are the king of hardcore. You are the new reigning hardcore champion on this podcast. By the way, we are the longest running episodic
episodic podcast.
podcast with Val, John, and Steve, just so you know.
That's true. We've run it for years. We've run it longer than Memphis ran wrestling in Memphis.
Yeah. We might actually have a longer life than TNA. So
I'm talking like John Moxley. That's not good.
Thank you so much for pressing play and downloading this Pro Wrestling Cast, whether you're watching it on YouTube or you're listening to it on demand on iTunes. We do appreciate that. We have a whole slate of wrestling news, breaking news in terms of the brother situation, and we'll also run down the card of Raw and Roadblock as we are on the road to WrestleMania. In the meantime, prepare yourself and strap in, because it's time for Wrestling Headline News.
This week in wrestling news.
Ladies and gentlemen,
watch it!
Let's go ahead and kick off with the breaking news that literally just happened a few hours ago. Steven, Gawker versus Hogan.
Whoa. They got a lot of money.
Brother.
Thing I can say, what a difference a year makes.
Well, you know, you're exactly right, Mean Gene. 1 year ago, we were friends. And if you would have told me 1 year later that we'd be locking horns, you a liar, Mean Gene.
Brother.
I think everyone was surprised that, you know, this kind of happened this way. I get the impression from watching a lot of what happened with Gawker that they came across as complete fucking scumbags to the jury and most other people, you know, in the United States. But, you know, they got... Hulk Hogan was awarded $115 million from Gawker, who I believe last year made around $45 million. So I don't think Hulk Hogan will get $115 million. They're going to appeal. I heard two differing things on this. One was they had to basically the thing is you can appeal something, but you have to pay it. But in Florida, I think the cap off rate was $50 million. So I didn't know how – I think they were trying to get investors to back that. But then I also heard more recently, probably from a better source, more of a law guy from Florida, that they actually would have to pay 10%, which is about $12 million. So they're going to pay at least $12 million, it looks like. And they're going to appeal it and see where they go with it. I think the thing they're hinging on is that Bubba the Love Sponge claimed – when he talked to the FBI that Hogan knew he was being filmed, but being he pleaded the fifth, I think it's kind of obvious Bubba is a liar, and I think we would have thought that anyway. But Hulk Hogan, really strong guy as far as choosing friends is concerned. But, I think revenge porn's a really disturbing kind of thing. I think that's what this kind of was in a lot of ways. Toward Hogan, I've said some very negative things about Hulk Hogan and the things he said in private. But I always said that it was totally fucking wrong to record somebody, and he's really shouldn't record them having sex and then sell it and make a lot of money. And, you know, he has a good point there. Well-timed, you know, because he's had 6 or 7 back surgeries in the last few years. And a divorce.
And a car wreck.
The divorce and the car wreck, from what I understand, wiped him out completely. You know, which is a stunning turn of events. But, you know, karma has its way of getting back at you. And maybe. But look, man, Hulk Hogan's the greatest worker in the world. And he worked this fucking perfect. He worked this beautifully.
Yeah.
Giving the impression, I'm Terry Bollea. Hulk Hogan's a different person. And he really made them understand it. And quite frankly, guys like... I think AJ Delario, the old editor for Gawker, and some of the other, they came across like some complete pieces of shit. And I think that's what hurt them, you know.
Well, hey, look, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, you know, you do those unsavory things, and it's going to come back around. I'm a firm believer in that kind of karma.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? More power to the Hulkster. I hope he's able to get his life back, and it's going to take a few years to leave that stench of all the controversy that he has put himself in by making those bad decisions. Like I'm sorry. Yes, is it wrong that someone decided to do blackmail videotape and sell it to Gawker to make millions of dollars? Hell yeah, it was wrong. Yeah. But
is it wrong to do kind of nefarious acts with your quote unquote best friend's, you know, wife, you know, and that's kind of sleazy too, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, what's interesting to me is that he's been outed as a sleazeball, but at the same time, this is such a bizarre and big story that it almost kind of is the newest thing in the news. And then the things he said that were so very racist are kind of like old news in a sense. So it's kind of helped him. This is just the strangest year for him. I mean, year in time since last year. To now, you know, this last 12 months for him has been really weird, and he's all over the news, and I don't know what to make of it, but I'll tell you this, this asshole's going to be back sooner than later.
I promise. As you say, that train is never late.
That train's never late, but
brother.
Brother, you know what, brother? He said what he said, and, you know, I don't know. Making friends with Bubba the Love Sponge and guys like Brutus Beefcake is probably not a great idea. But whatever.
Well, hey, look, I mean, you know, how the mighty have fallen, Brutus Beefcake. That's a whole other podcast right there.
I don't know what to say about him. But he certainly.
Well, I do.
You do.
guys got sticky fingers, man. That's not good.
I don't know, man. When you become a celebrity, I guess it's hard to make friends. But you know, you remember, like we were talking about last week, he's always on the work. So you even work to be like, is your friendship really a friendship or is it a work? it's really bizarre.
Well, I want to tell you straight up, shoot there, Mr. Stephen Anthony, you are my friend.
I know you're my friend.
That's not a word.
Because you're the first person that got in touch with me after the surgery, and that is true. I think you thought it was the day before, but you were the first person that actually contacted me.
Oh,
and
there you go.
That is the truth, and you were the first person I called once I was done. So okay, I know you're my friend, buddy, and that's for real, buddy.
That's for shoot. That's for shoot. That is not a work.
You know I take that shit very seriously.
Oh yeah, man, my brother.
Yes, sir.
So how about this? This is also a shoot. The legend, the man they call Sting, the icon, is retiring from the business of professional wrestling, according to TMZ, due to the injury sustained with Seth Rollins' match at the WWE Night of Champions this past September.
Right.
Stephen, what can you tell us about this?
He has to retire. You know, I think doing that match in itself was an incredibly brave thing. The last match he did with Seth Rollins, and he'll go out, you know, on, I think we talked about this, if he would have retired, we were saying back then, and now he has it. He'll go out on a strong note. He did this really brave match where he took some bumps he probably shouldn't have taken at his age. And I kept saying, that was the one thing I've been wrong about in 1 year doing this show. I said that the Sting Rollins match would be a dud, and I was wrong. He proved me wrong. He took some bumps that he shouldn't have taken, and he got very hurt. His neck's still very bad, and he needs to retire. But you know what, man? He did it all. He's gone to the Hall of Fame, and his last match was very memorable. And some can say that's kind of a weird thing to say because, you know, he got hurt at the end of the match. I understand that. He gave it his all. He finished the match, and then he retired. Man, and I will never forget, okay, and this is a personal thing for me. I was 10, I think, and WrestleMania was on, but I, you know, couldn't afford to get that in the small house we lived in South Louisiana. But what did come on WTBS was Ric Flair versus Sting, and I did see the first Clash of the Champions. They were running in opposition to hurt him, and I just couldn't believe how amazing that match really was live to see. I mean, it was really one of the best live matches I've ever seen. And God, what an incredible, I know he's one of your favorites too, right?
Oh, totally. I mean, reading this story makes me very sad.
Yeah.
When you're describing it, when we're just talking about it, just reading this, it really just makes me sad because Sting is one of my all-time favorite wrestlers. He's the reason why I got back into wrestling when I was in college. And the whole black, white face Sting crow gimmick coming down from the rafters. I mean, I stopped watching wrestling when I was getting into high school. So there was literally like a 4-year gap that I didn't watch it.
Same here.
So when I was in high school, I didn't watch wrestling at all. the last memory I have is watching he and Dusty Rhodes in WCW, you know, just having great matches, and, you know, they're on the mellow yellow cans, you know, back in Tennessee. And
after a hard day at the office, working up a big thirst, many professionals reach for the smooth taste of mellow yellow.
Woo, baby, mellow yellow, the taste that beats Mountain Dew. Take it from Dusty Rhodes, the American dream. Make the mellow yellow move.
You know, everybody was like, man, it's great. You know, it's great to see Dusty and Sting and Ric Flair and all this. Okay, fine. And I was like, okay, that's the end, you know. And then in college, the Monday Night Wars were just heating up, man. Absolutely just heating up. And I got into college in 1994, 95, things were heating up. And then the whole yellow and black and into college, man, the whole NWO thing was just so hot. And my memories of playing those and watching those pay-per-views, playing those video games with Sting, are just things I wouldn't forget. And, you know, the other thing about that is I would actually go with my family, or the radio station I was working at, and go see WCW, house shows. And of course Sting was doing the house shows and stuff like that. And, it just makes me really sad. And then to see how he got injured, to have that like permanently ingrained in my mind. It sucks because I had so many hopes attached with Sting coming to the WWE. Like, this is going to be so awesome. His WrestleMania moment would be his only one. Now I take that back. He's being inducted to the Hall of Fame, so he's going to have another WrestleMania moment.
Right.
And, but it's not going to be one as an active participant. And, It just makes me really sad.
Will Ric Flair cry?
Yes.
You know, the IWC marks go, he came back and had two matches and he jobbed in both of them. I bet he regrets that. No, he probably doesn't. He's probably like, I had a WrestleMania match. It was the mid-WrestleMania main event. You know, they do that at WrestleMania. They put one main event in the middle, one at the end. And it was a great match with shitloads of run-ins. And then he had another really strong pay-per-view title match with Seth Rollins. And yes, he put them both over. Well, you got to put over Triple H looking at where they went with him. Mm-hmm. And then you got to put over Rollins, the young champion. So, I mean, Sting always put people over to help them out. And he stayed over. If you're over a certain way, you can job and stay over. These current guys can't do it, but Sting can do
they're
it.
They're not established.
They're just, it's not the same. And there's an edge, a charisma, an X factor you can't put your finger on. When Sting comes out, it's like, holy shit, Sting's here. I don't even know. Even in the waning days of WCW, it was almost like, I would in 2000, you know, I would think, just take him off the show. I don't even want to see him on this awful show because he's so, you know, such a magic performer and he does so many great things. And he was trying, you know, he was the only guy still trying that was a million-dollar guy in the late era, trying to put over Jarrett, trying to get over Vampiro, and even the Demon. But, you know, I'll always remember Sting as a guy who turned it all around. He was a good man in an immoral sport. He tried to help people. He does help people, and he does the right thing. And he's one of the most over competitors ever. Nobody mistake this for guys that are younger than us that listen to this show. I was there. Sting was just as over as Steve Austin in 1997. Okay. That people do not remember that. Sting was just as or a slightly bit more over than Steve Austin in October, November, December of 97. They just fucked up the Starrcade match and his heat started going down. But he was over that big.
That's your Hulk Hogan tie-in, brother. And you know what? To this day, Sting still puts over Hogan.
Because he's a good man and he does the right thing.
He does the right thing.
I shouldn't even say this. Never mind. I was just going to say, you know, Hogan's always on Twitter talking about his faith and how, you know, he's helped by it. And I think that's awesome. You know, and Sting talks about his faith too, but, you know, Hogan needs to practice it a little bit more than Sting sometimes, I think. Sting actually puts it into practice. I shouldn't say that, but that's just what I noticed about Hogan, man.
Well, look, I mean, as they say, practice makes perfect.
He could be a good man. I have faith in him.
I believe Hulkster can turn around. In terms of Sting, I think he's a locker room general. He does help the younger guys out. And Seth Rollins is so complimentary to Sting. You know, basically be the one to retire the icon, Sting. I mean, I you know, once again, it's very sad. It is heavy. And the burden that Seth Rollins will carry for the rest of his life, knowing that, you know, knowing what happened, is not one to take lightly. But you know what? It could be a lot worse. You know, this could be Darren Drozdov style, and that's, yeah. And I'm glad it's not that. And we know that, you know, Droz was, you know, had a really big career ahead of him. And to this day, we know that, D'Lo Brown still carries that weight with him. And it's sad. Anytime those wrestlers get hurt in the ring, you know, Owen Hart felt bad for, you know, yeah. for injuring Steve Austin, and Steve Austin, he understandably, you know, he knew that that was pretty much the end of his career.
Yeah.
So those injuries, you know, and look at Nikki Bella now. Look at people like, you know, Nikki Bella. You don't know if she's going to come back from her neck injury. You don't know, you know, John Cena is not Superman. You know, he is mortal. And there will be a time that those neck injuries, those bump card, the bump card is going to be fully withdrawn. And you don't want to overdraft, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Cena's been doing this a long time at a hell of a clip. I'm glad he's got some time off. But, you know, exactly, if what happens to Cena, if what happened to Sting happens to Cena, you want to talk about a real disaster. You know, they don't have anybody ready to take that spot. I don't care what they think. You know, they know it too, but.
Well, okay. So this morphs us into a little bit of a tangent. WWE booking, once again, and I hope to have a special guest to talk about booking from a booker standpoint coming up. But having said that, you know, WWE has always been a singular big man, baby face territory where there is a singular face. I think I heard this on maybe Taz's show.
Okay.
In regards to historically what WWF was a singular, you know, Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, you know, Warrior, they always were fed heels, and that's exactly what they do. That's how they work. Unlike like a New Japan, which is more of an ensemble cast, you had, you know, four guys that literally could carry the company, and right. they would trade spaces off, which makes complete sense. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, some companies can do it properly. You know, but the WWF style or WWE style is always about a singular face of the company.
Right.
And this is the problem you're into in 2016 with the amount of miles, the amount of bumps, the higher pace that people work, and the number of programs they have to be on in order to get ratings. Their bodies take an extraordinary toll. They're not right. sitting there with rest holds. They're not sitting there doing stuff. And it's not to belittle the talent from back in the day. It's just a new style.
Right.
You know? And I worry about the future of this if they don't change the way they're booking and maybe have more of an ensemble group of characters, which can work in TV, folks. I mean, it started with Friends. You can have a successful ensemble carry a show.
It's very possible, but that's just never been the way he's done that. You know, this is Vince McMahon Jr. started booking the minute Bob Backlund lost to Iron Sheik and dropped it to Hogan. That's basically the start of everything, right? Mm-hmm. He had Hulk Hogan, the singular guy. You know, he did that he rode that as long as he could. You know, he tried to do Warrior, didn't work, brought Hogan back, tried to do Hart as the singular guy, Michaels as the singular guy, Diesel, Austin, which was a great pick. You know, and there was that great period of time where they had Trips as the heel, Austin, Rock, and then you had Angle and Foley too. That was their gravy period, right? So, but I don't know, maybe that was just blind luck. My point is 95% of the time, it's the single. He has a theory called, and the writers have said this about Vince, the theory is that narrow spotlight the focus. Narrow focus the spotlight. I'm sorry.
right.
And you basically narrow focus the spotlight onto a stage, right? And that's the idea of the show. Narrow spotlight on this one guy. And then everything else is around in the shadows, so to speak. And they have chosen someone, Roman Reigns, and we go, gee, they can't get Roman over, right? Mm-hmm. And the crowd will never actually accept him. That's what I know. They will never accept him. And then he'll get hurt. It won't even, I mean, he's going to get hurt. He will get hurt in the next year. I'm going to make a weird prediction. He's going to get hurt in the next year, and they're going to be scrambling again. And he'll come back. And, I mean, where the hell are they going?
Yeah, I don't know.
What the hell are they doing? Everybody's getting hurt. Nobody's over. I don't know what they're doing. NXT's hopeful, but I just don't know where they're going. I'm really starting to wonder what the hell's going on, because it's really perplexing me.
Well, speaking about injuries that are also semi-perplexing, actually, it's not really. We're talking about what happened on Monday night. Neville
right.
got hurt, and apparently he had some repeat testing done in Orlando. This was during his match on this Monday night Raw against Chris Jericho. It's been determined that a surgical repair of the ankle would not be necessary, but he's got to be out for 2 to 3 months due to a fractured left ankle.
He's going to miss his Mania match, which was going to be a multi-man match involving Owens and Zayn for the IC title. So he's going to miss his big WrestleMania match, and it's really sad, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, guys that take risk, I know that doing a baseball slide isn't a big risk, although, you know, that's exactly how Rob Van Dam got hurt. And if you really look back at it, you know, you can say this or that, but ECW when Rob Van Dam got out with that injury kind of never was the same. And that sucker took a whole year to heal, if I remember correctly. So I really thought he was going to be out a year, but it looks like it's going to be 2 or 3 months because he didn't break it. Mm-hmm. A high flyer like that, same thing. You got to expect this guy's going to get hurt at some point. It wasn't a high flying maneuver. But I just hope he's okay. You know, Van Dam was the same after his injury. So, you know, I just hope Neville's okay. There was a little bit of controversy over the handling by Jericho and Charles Robinson that I thought was kind of shooty. Now are you telling me you think that was a work more than I did?
Yeah, I think that, well, as soon as they found out that Neville was injured, seemed to me like off microphone moments between Robinson and Jericho where they literally worked it out to fill time, because I think that match was supposed to go an extra 3-4 minutes.
Right.
Yeah, Yeah. So they worked it, and then ultimately, you know, Jericho got the best of Neville. And I tell you, Jericho's on fire once again. I mean,
yep.
Roadblock will talk about it, how on fire his promo was. And once again, he's just working the magic, you know, and Chris Jericho cutting a great freaking promo on the fly to fill time, because that's how good he is. Once again, future Hall of Famer Chris Jericho, no doubt in my mind. Another reason why I watch WCW into WWE, Jericho on fire. And I feel sorry for Neville. I wish him the best. I hope they're able to heat him back up when he's able to return, because people like Neville. There's a reason why he was voted as a Slammy Award winner for Talent of the Year, whatever it was, the best new talent. But I tell you, you know, Neville, I mean, the guy can work.
Yeah, and I mean, I've watched him for years. I used to really like to watch him in Dragon Gate.
Mm-hmm. Great promotion.
Yeah, a really great promotion. We don't talk about them enough. I mean, I think their shows are kind of – I heard Meltzer talking about Dragon Gate the other day. It's like, you know, it's kind of fun to watch, and then you kind of move on with what you're doing. But, yeah, as Pac, he was an integral part of that show, especially as an American – oh, he's not American. What the hell's wrong with me? As a non-Japanese competitor. And they can do all the maneuvers and wrestle in the Dragon Gate style. And yeah, it's really sad to see you go, and I didn't see him go temporarily, you know, as it were. But I mean, really, I wish I would have done more with him last year at the same time, you know.
Yeah. So
maybe they'll know what to do when he comes back. Who knows? Or maybe he'll just keep jobbing to Chris Jericho or AJ Styles on SmackDown or Raw.
Well, our discussion came true regarding Jacqueline Moore, Jackie, Miss Jackie, being inducted to the Hall of Fame. Of course, joining Sting, we talked about Godfather, Freebird, Big Boss Man, in Dallas, Texas, for the 2016 class. Of course, well deserved. We talked about Jackie, you know, a lot, and her contribution. I'm glad it's finally coming true. But now my question to you is, sir, is the Hall of Fame finished? Or do we have another name or two that we can add to the list before WrestleMania?
I think there might be one more name.
I think so, too. Who do you think it's going to be?
I won't reveal that because I knew it and then I forgot.
Oh, really? Because we're talking about, well,
Well, we talked about Stan Hansen. So if he doesn't go in, that whole show will be like really a disaster, wouldn't you say?
Well, I understand Stan Hansen maybe going in, but do you think they'll announce one more after that? Because look at the wrestlers that are going to be inducted posthumously to the Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Boss Man, that's not going to take up too much time, you know.
Right.
I'm thinking, do you think there might be a chance that inducting JBL?
Say that one more time. You broke up on me. Did you say induct JBL? I'm sorry.
Yes.
I know. I think JBL would induct Hansen. That's what I figured was going to happen.
Okay. You don't have any inkling that someone may be in. Well, no. JBL.
I don't think so.
JBL and Farouk were going to induct the Godfather.
Oh, remember? That's right. That's
APA right. was. But my question to you is, would it be an interesting turn of events if they decide to induct JBL into the Hall of Fame? Because, you know, he hosts that Legend show, and can you imagine, you know, how cool it would be to say, you know, WWE Hall of Famer JBL, you know, in the announce team?
Well, I think he deserves it. I don't know if they'll do it this year. You know, I think he definitely deserves it because I think he really overachieved in a lot of ways. Because if you would have seen him in 97 as the new Black Jacks, and then 98 is APA, and they were, you know, a strong tag team that was basically just Stiff. To see what he eventually was able to do with his own evil Republican character champion, and then, you know, his stuff on Fox News, and, you know, basically his locker room sort of MO is pretty interesting as well. And then to become an announcer, some people think he sucks, some people think he's good, you know.
I think he's hilarious because his attempts at bringing pop culture is hilarious, much like you know, talking about, you know, his misguided efforts into doing movie quotes and stuff like that. It's so funny.
He talks about stuff that's very, very old too. He'll bring up, you know, literally things that are 40 years old, you know.
Yeah.
He's a little bit lost in the past, but you know, that's what those guys are in such a bubble, you know, that they don't really know that. I think that is the one thing about Russo. He was able to bring in those elements in and say, hey, there's a lot more going on than just, you know, Doink the Clown versus Kurt Hennig in life. You know, there's a whole world out there, and those pop culture references he uses are very dated from back when he was like a normal human, right? You know, before he was a part of the non-entity, you know, and that's what makes Jericho such a good act too. You know, he's obviously very in tune with, you know, things that are outside. And then of course a guy like The Rock was able to break away completely and be cool in other forms. But some of these guys are locked into that weird cultic system, you know, and, you know, Michael Cole, JBL are perfect examples. You know, they are wired into the system. They work 28 out of 30 days and they're trapped. They're talking about the Fonz, like, hey, the Fonz, you know, because that's what they last remember before they were taken into an alien spacecraft into another planet. That's kind of
Titan Towers.
Titan Towers is a real thing, man. That's why Shane left. I really, Honky Tonk Man had said that. He said a guy told him, you know, Shane wanted to see what it would be like to just have a normal life and get away from all that. And Shane is fucking cool, isn't he? I mean, he is a cool motherfucker. His promos are fucked up, but he's
so cool. Well, that's not his fault.
I've been watching an immense amount of footage on you, and I've been trying to figure out how am I going to beat you. And I've got to figure it out. I'm going to use my mind, because what's going to happen is you're going to go to hit me, and I'm going to miss. You're going to miss. I'm going to hit you. You are going.
I think he's not, you know, he's not comfortable reading other people's writing, apparently.
Nobody is,
even Roman. Speaking of other people's writing, how about The Rock and Mark Wahlberg being sued by quote unquote, supposedly stealing or heavily borrowing from a show, because they have a show called Ballers that that is on HBO, and that the series borrows heavily from a show called Off Season, created in 2007. And screenwriters Everett Sellius, Littleton filed a lawsuit against the two actors, and they're filing it for $200 million. Holy smokes.
That's a lot. Well, we know that can happen now, that it can actually get ruled in, you know, because that happened today almost. But I don't know what to tell you. I think we know, both of us know this from music and being in the business, that a lot of people use other people's ideas. I mean, that's just something that happens. I don't know the ins and outs of this case. I don't know.
Well, apparently they claim that there are 27, there are 27 like-minded show concept, ideas that are exactly the same 2007. So that's quite a number. That's quite a number, but having,
right.
I don't know. We'll see how that turns out. I have a feeling they're going to settle. How about this? Speaking of money, making big money, Paul Heyman recently signed another big deal with Yahoo Sports to provide exclusive content via his Heyman Hustle website to Yahoo's Turnstile blog. A Day in the Life of the Advocate video series will be starting up really soon. So, good for Heyman.
Heyman's got some weird. I was following Heyman on Twitter, and he's like always showing these girls and all this stuff. I don't know if you've seen.
Well, it's his promotion agency.
Right. Well, I was looking at my Twitter one day, and I think my wife thought I was following like some, some girls or something, because I'm looking at Heyman's freaking Twitter.
Yeah, Heyman's always tweeting. Heyman's always tweeting models. It's always what he's doing.
Yeah, he's constant models on his feed. It's really weird. No, actually, not weird.
Well, when you remember how Paul Heyman got into the wrestling industry, he got in as a photographer. Apparently, he took a lot of photos back in the day of models and other parties that went on Club 54.
Studio 54,
Studio 54.
Oh, I've seen the picture. Yeah, if you watch Heyman's DVD they put out, a documentary, whatever, WWE, it's actually one of the most interesting ones. But he that's how he got into wrestling. He took pictures of Ric Flair over there and had a party, and I think he had Jimmy Garvin come in and all those guys. And Studio 54 New York needed a photographer, and he weaseled his way into that. But
I love that.
He's a very, guys, go in the network and watch the Paul Heyman thing. Actually, I don't know if it's up yet.
They did the preview. I think Paul is just, he talk about Heyman Hustle. That's exactly what he is. He's a mover. He's a shaker. He's a man that gets things done.
Let me tell you something, man, about Heyman too. When ECW was going down and they were on TNN, he cut a shoot on the network about, WWE was going to be signing with Spike, and they were obviously kicking him off and they didn't promote him. And he cuts this shoot on the network while on the actual network itself. That it's the damnedest thing I've ever. I mean, he said, for all the people that like to shoot these days, here's a shoot for you. And that's the one I'm referring to. And it still remains with me. I mean, he is so marvelous at what he does. And I will never forget that one. That is a key fucking promo, man.
Well, he learned a lot from working with all those great promoters, including Dusty Rhodes. I think he credited Dusty Rhodes for saying, "Show me the money, Paul."
Yeah, and also he learned a lot and worked with guys like Eddie Gilbert and Brian Pillman, who both died before their time. And I can't say enough about Pillman and his mind and his way to think things. We were just watching the other day the pay-per-view from 96 where Pillman did the match with Kevin Sullivan and said, "I respect you, Booker, man." I mean, it really looks like a shoot. And the guy like Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, who basically started ECW, and Heyman kind of more or less stole it from him in a weird way. But he was doing the 2 out of 3 falls, barbed wire cage matches with, Cactus Jack. Back in 92, 93 with the promotion. I forget what it was called, but it was in, I think it was Tri-State Wrestling or something like that. It was the Pennsylvania promotion that, became ECW. But he worked hand in hand with those two on a lot of different things. And those three kind of were a brain trust to me of the early 90s, this thing that just happened where, let's think past what wrestling is and let's try something new. ECW came out of that, Brian Pillman and his work shoot. The work shoot came out of that and a lot of that stuff. So I have nothing but respect for Heyman, but I would not probably trust him to do much with me.
talk about a worker. He definitely is a worker.
Boy, that is a worker. Yeah.
Well, speaking of shoots, speaking of interesting work, let's talk about the WWE Network.
Oh, okay.
And so we're watching the Edge and Christian show.
Sure. It's very funny.
I believe that this is a show that's dedicated. I mean, this past episode, they put on one of the funniest skits with AJ Styles.
Well, I never thought they'd go there. They went there, and it was hilarious. First of all, before the TNA part, to mention the Bullet Club is kind of, right, it's kind of interesting. And the joke with the Mullet Club. But it was really cool. The Bullet Club was on my screen, and, you know,
let's back up.
Hello.
They brought AJ Styles in to play a game show. They both dressed up kind of like Bob Barker and the whole wigs and the microphone on the stick. And they're like, will WWE talk about it? And they brought, and, you know, we bring in AJ Styles. Will AJ Styles talk about the Bullet Club? Ding, 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 ding. Yes, they will talk about it. But they're going to call it the Mullet Club. Then I rename it the Mullet Club.
Very cute.
You know? And then here's the meme that I made, if you can see on your screen. And it says specifically, the wrestling company that AJ Styles worked for between 2002 and 2014. And AJ Styles looks at him, and of course they flash Test and Albert with with Trish Stratus, which was their tag team, was called what, Steven?
T and A.
Yeah.
Test and Albert, T and A.
T and A. And of course they start laughing their ass off. You know, look at that right there. Yeah. And I did not post that yet on our Instagram, Twitter.
But hey, look,
that was hilarious.
Hey, you know what? That's a kind of a funny shot at them also in another way. It's also a shot at Russo, because TNA, from what I understand, he named them, you know, because he was their first writer when they were with the Jarretts early on. So that's the same. They're making a joke like, that's the same stupid idea you had for Test, Prince Albert, and Trish Stratus. And then you just name a whole company that. So that's kind of a double play. But AJ was really funny in his reactions, and the way they just totally fucking buried them while they're really down is very funny and awful.
Well, come on now, though. I mean, you have to admit, that just made every smart mark just laugh their ass off. I mean,
it's hilarious.
It's funny as hell. And then
I rewound it three times. I said, hey, watch this, Terry. Look at there. You watching this?
Well, not only that, but they also had references to the big old vat of ass cream, which was nice. And then one of my favorite, very subtle moments, you know, a couple weeks ago, they took a shot at Sonny, right?
Yeah. They talked
about the you know, the Sonny ointment, which was hilarious. They take it a step further this week, and they bring in Ryback's tweet eraser.
Tweeter. That actually had been on pretty good. It's easy to bust up on old Ryback, poor old Ryback.
Yeah,
because he's an easy target, because he's kind of dumb, apparently. I don't think he's that dumb. I saw him on the table for three, but he's an easy target.
Look, man, people bag on Ryback, man. I like Ryback, man. You know, lay off the big guy. Yeah. I have a really good feeling that it's gonna all work out for the big guy. But
I don't know about that.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe you're right.
I don't know about that part.
Maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part. Speaking of having things work out, another big milestone happened for Drew Galloway this week as he gets crowned the TNA World Heavyweight Champion.
Right. I think everybody's talking about it. No, you know, their show has dropped so low now. I think nobody's watching the show, and the show's actually been pretty good. Why you would put the belt? Now look, Drew Galloway's awesome. He deserves to be in WWE, honestly. He would be great in the League of Gentlemen when they're great music.
He might just be part of the International House of Pancakes. So
every time the International House of Shit comes out, I did it at the pay-per-view. I'm like, what's this music? I always do that. I'm like, what is this music? Like, I never can remember this song. It's so terrible. Everything about it. Anyway, Galloway, there's no reason to take the belt off of Hardy. He was fine as a heel champion. I mean, that's not how you book. You actually had something that was working. He was actually annoying me as a heel somehow. He was actually getting to me. Good God.
They didn't even give it enough time to let it sink in.
They just are stupid. They just do stupid shit. They've done it for years.
I don't know. I guess they try to pop a rating by half. Well, they probably tried.
Oh, they popped a big old 275,000 people rating. All right. What are you doing? I know he deserves to be the champion. That's great, but don't just use that as the logic for the whole thing. Build it up. Do something.
He cashed in his briefcase from Feast or Fired, I guess. So.
No. Money in the Bank briefcase, right? Is that what they call theirs?
No, Feast or Fired. They call it Feast or Fired briefcase.
Feast or Fired instead of Money in the Bank. But it's the same thing. That's strange.
Kind of. It's a little convoluted, but I think Feast or Fired is a horrible.
And then they never go through with the gimmick. The people never get fired. Like Grotto put on a mask and are like, ha ha ha, it's fun. It's not funny. It's only funny when Dusty Rhodes puts on a mask and says he's the Midnight Rider.
Hey, hold on a second. Is it me or is there something about Grado that I just can't get into?
I got that with a lot of TNA guys. I got it with Mandrews. I actually get it with Eric Young, even though I can clearly see his talent in the ring and his talent on the microphone. There's something about them. Maybe it's the cameras. Maybe it's the atmosphere. Maybe it's the stench of the promotion. But there's something about them that won't let me get into them. I used to love to watch Jeff Hardy. I couldn't fucking care less about him now. And I used to love Will-O-The-Wisp. I thought it was the funniest, stupid thing of all time from Omega. I hear he's going to come back and do Will-O-The-Wisp again soon. I couldn't even care less.
I can't even handle it. I can't handle it. The only people I ever really dug watching in TNA, like Beer Money, dude. I could watch those guys wrestle all day long. Big fan of Kurt Angle, obviously. Now he's not no longer with the company. I do like Drew Galloway a lot. I do like the Hardys. And I told you, I like EC3. Still a fan of EC3. I like Doug Williams. And I like the Knockouts, you know. I mean, dude, Brooke is like a bomb, you know. Gail Kim, awesome.
But I think some of the newer ones they've got have been kind of weak. I mean, Rebel and Jade in particular are kind of weak to me.
They can't help it. They don't have the experience.
Yeah, and then I know they're very pretty, but that doesn't fly anymore. That doesn't work because like as late as WWE got to that, they finally figured it out that you need someone like Bayley or Sasha Banks, who I hear Vince is a big fan of. Or Natalie, the other day had this incredible match. You know, not incredible. I'm sorry. My point is, we will talk about that later. But my point is, they're behind the times on that thing to me.
Well, they just don't have a very good talent pool. WWE has really purged a lot of really good, great female workers for NXT. Having said that, speaking about TNA. Last but not least, Mr. Anderson.
Oh, boy.
Mr. Anderson blows a gasket and also blows a test, apparently, and then gets released from TNA unceremoniously.
I'd heard of the Bethlehem tapings that Eric Young complained that he was completely fucked up. Apparently, they had a shit match. A match so shitty, TNA actually didn't air it. And this is the same promotion that aired... the match with what's Charmel and the girl from Survivor. That is the worst match I've ever seen. What's her name? The girl from Survivor?
Jamie, I don't even
Marasco, know. Jenna Marasco against Charmel. Guys, go find it on YouTube. It's you want to talk about stars. That is the negative 5 stars. And they wouldn't even play this Eric Young, Mr. Anderson match on their show. Eric Young apparently got into it with him. He complained. He said, and by the way, their management needs to stop putting people in the ring with people that are fucked up on drugs. They just need to figure out a way to stop doing that, allegedly. But, really, it is very dangerous. You know, this isn't ECW where everyone's allegedly messed up at the same time. So anyway, they popped him up with a test right after that, and he failed it, and he's gone. And I feel really bad for him because as Ken Kennedy in 2007, the sky was the limit. Promos, work, angles, I don't know. Man, this guy's really – I don't know.
Yeah, it was literally, he literally was one of, he was going to be the anointed one. In fact, before the whole gentleman who I shall not name on this podcast, and Vince, you know, was trying to look for his illegitimate son, it was supposed to be Ken Kennedy instead of Hornswoggle.
Well, you mean Wild Pegasus?
Yeah. Yeah. Pegasus Kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And there was Ken on TV talking about how he doesn't do steroids. And then they found him buying steroids like 7 hours later. I mean, you know, or documents of it. So yeah, Ken's, that was unfortunate, but Ken had problems with the locker room and, you know, I don't know, something to just, it just didn't work out for him. And I remember when he was in Aces and Eights, just, it really hit me one day and I'm like, God, this guy's gimmick is so boring now. His name is stupid now. He looks bad in this gimmick. He's just a part of this terrible group. What the hell happened? And to look back now, at least he was employed in wrestling matches. But yeah. He put on a string of subpar pay-per-view matches. He had a match with Rob Van Dam on pay-per-view for TNA that was so bad I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how can Rob Van Dam have such a bad match? I mean, it just, you know, and it's him and his issues. I hope he gets some help because, you know, he hasn't learned any lessons, perhaps.
Well, WWE Wellness is still being offered for all former talents, so just remember that.
Isn't that funny, though, that they have to help him when his company maybe does, you know, his company should help him. His, you know, if I had a problem like that, that, you know, they need to just take care of the problem. They need to realize how significant these things are later on, you know, because if somebody dies on their watch, you know, it might actually be the end of their whole company.
Right.
You know, it's not like Vince, who has all this collateral.
Right. Let's move on really quick. NXT, really quickly, had Sami Zayn at the end this past week break out.
So the beginning.
Oh, the beginning. I'm sorry. Beginning of NXT. And finally, we get a little bit of a picture of Shinsuke Nakamura talking about how he's coming for Sami Zayn at the next TakeOver event the day before the WrestleMania weekend in Dallas. And Shinsuke, you know, looks like it was shot New Japan style.
he borrowed my camera, he borrowed my phone to just record it with the camera on it. So I appreciated him doing that because I'm a big fan. But no, man. But I mean, aside from the fact that it looks strange, you know, I think they're going to blow the roof off of TakeOver, man. I think that card's going to be killer. I can't wait to see Asuka fight Bayley. I can't wait to. What's he doing with his hair there?
Are you I don't know. I mean, you know, you're looking at it right now, just really quick, and it just is like, there's Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yeah.
Hey, Sami Zayn, flip my hair.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl, how you doing?
You know, he's very feminine. He's very feminine. That's kind of why I like him. You know, he's feminine, and it'll kick someone in the face hard. You think they're dead? And that's why he's great. The greatest wrestler in the world. Please don't fuck this up, guys. Please don't fuck this up. Please, I'm begging you. Hey, you know, they interviewed Tanahashi for SI, and he said, they asked him if he watched. He said he was surprised Nakamura left. He said he would never go to WWE because he's New Japan for life. And he said he does watch the Raw show, and he says he finds the matches very slow.
Well, of course he would.
I just think it's really funny. Let me say something. I wanted to reveal this because my lovely wife, Terry, did not realize this, but until I pointed out to her. But with New Japan's resurgence, you know, they're now in a downshift. But I think everyone should know that, you know, Nakamura in his early days was actually a bit of a failure as a draw. And it was actually Tanahashi that's really the guy that propelled, when he turned babyface, propelled them, and then Nakamura switched to this really cool fucking gimmick we've seen. So, you know, everybody realized that Tanahashi is the shit, you know, and he has been the shit for a long fucking time.
Well, yeah, I mean, early on, Nakamura kind of looked like a Jay Brown, you know,
he was stiff as fuck, but I mean, he was, I mean,
he wasn't established, and then he was
boring, shockingly enough, you know, which is weird looking at it now. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, well, it's funny how times have changed.
Things have changed, Daddy.
Really quick, Roadblock aired, and what was your original thought on WWE's network exclusive special?
I thought it was really boring. But when I think about it now, I think I wanted it to be a pay-per-view quality, and I forgot about the fact that it's really just a recorded house show. Mm-hmm. You know, and when I look back at it, I shouldn't have been so... I was very disappointed in the Sami Zayn match. I was really surprised how boring it was. You know, he kind of had a real rough start to the main roster, which is making me upset.
Well, I wasn't as down on it as some people were. Let me just run down some things. First of all,
run it down.
Let me run it down real quick. We don't typically do rundowns, but
it had a bunch of
matches that I didn't realize that were going to be on the card, which was interesting.
Right.
We start off with the Bootio serial with New Day, and that pretty much moving into their match against the International House of Pancakes. I'm going to continue to call them that. I really am.
I really don't.
New Day.
I really don't know what's going on with that crap. You know.
Well, I know what's up because those two factions are literally, men without a country right now. So they're going to put them together, and the House of Pancakes got beat by New Day to retain their championships, which they don't need in 9 minutes and 35 seconds. But here's the thing about that. It solidifies New Day of actually being a face group now.
Right. And that's what they wanted to do. So they achieved that. But now they're going to do another Mania match, which just, waters that down. But whatever. You know, if they wanted to do it, they should have dropped the belts to him and have him win it back in babyface fashion. But, you know, all I do is watch, you know, old wrestling that's booked correctly. So what do I know?
Let's see. Let's move on.
The match was fine, by the way. I was glad to see Xavier in there finally. You know, he's never in there, it seems like.
Well, how about that? Chris Jericho comes out, cuts this one of the best heel promos of all time. The fans scream for Chris Jericho because he's a fellow Canadian, and by the way, he's from Winnipeg originally,
right?
Not from Toronto,
Ontario.
Yeah. Where the hell? Yeah,
is that where they were?
They're on Toronto. Yeah.
Okay.
And the bottom line is that, man, he is such a damn good heel, and he played that crowd. You know, typical Canadians, always a little step behind of the rest of the world. You know,
that's pretty funny though.
And of course, the most cringeworthy moment of the night, the Canadian fans start chanting, "We want Brett," and said that they were never going to see Brett again.
He's so fucked up, man.
They're never going to see Brett again. You know, he's ashamed to be Canadian, Jericho says, saying that he moved to the United States years ago and it was the smartest move he ever made, because Jericho moved from Canada because it was literally Canada stinks and Toronto is the anus. The best line ever.
Pretty brutal. Very quickly, since we just mentioned Xavier, everyone listen to the Jericho podcast with Xavier and Cody Rhodes. It's got the funniest story you've ever heard. I won't. It's really, really worth it with Cody and Xavier in high school and all there. It's really great. But Jericho has gotten a lot of flack, you know, since he's come back for he's too old and this and that. You know, meanwhile, Terry Funk in 1989 was his age, and he was the best thing you ever saw. It was Terry Funk in 89. Age doesn't mean anything. What? Abilities.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
You know,
I mean, look at Terry Funk is still doing stuff out there. Are you kidding me?
I saw a match the other day where Jerry Lawler threw a fireball in Terry Funk's face. This was like months ago.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, you're still taking fireballs? But I digress. Jericho loves to do the heel now. And, you know, his little Bachwinkle inspired there. I mentioned him. His Bachwinkle inspired 2008 run, which is one of the best WWE runs ever, was the Michaels Jericho heel run against the Feud. Mm-hmm. It really was. And he's such a fantastic heel. I'm really happy looking at it now that they put him in there with AJ, because although the matches haven't blown me away, they've been really fucking great. And I'm hoping that they finally put together that 4.25-star kick-ass match I've been waiting for. I think AJ's been getting used to the ring, but Jericho and his ability to get heat is really amazing. Now, a person who doesn't have an amazing ability to get heat is Jack Swagger. And but they really cuffed him, you know, with this, you know, having to play a baby face in this We the People. You know, I'm a patriotic American kind of guy, and even I don't think that gimmick's any damn good, you know. And you know, they tried very hard in the match, and Jericho just had to, you know, pin him like a Jay Brown, which is kind of what he is.
Well, I tell you, you know what though, Swagger can work. I actually like the match quite a bit. Believe it or not, there was a bunch of, you know, it was a great house show type of match, and you know, we haven't seen Swagger on TV, but once again, you know, Jericho made it funny at Swagger's expense, saying "We the People." It's a gimmick so stupid that it must have come from Canada. And great. that was great, hilarious. Man. But once again, I mean, I think it's great. Now, how about this?
Wait. He tore up the Bret Hart sign. Did you mention that yet?
Oh, yeah. He tore up the
Bret Hart sign. I didn't know if you were moving on or not, but tearing up the Get Well Bret sign was easily the most heel fucking thing you could do in Canada on that.
Well, you know, if you know Chris Jericho, you know, he's a big, you know, obviously, he's a big fan of Bret Hart. Oh, I mean, he had him on the podcast, and there's so much respect there. But how about this? You know, talked about how weird it was to have two tag team matches on the show. And even further up on the card, you have the NXT match. You have Dash and Dawson taking on NXT guys. Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy with Carmella. Man,
boy, I tell that you, match really was awesome, actually.
Dude, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And you remember how I was saying that it was, you know, it was a test? You were probably agreeing with that.
It's a test match.
Okay.
And they'll job and then go to the main roster, right? Yeah.
Well. Look at this. Clearly. Someone in the back, whoever was running the cameras and stuff like that, maybe it was Kevin Dunn, I don't know, but they clearly wanted to find out if the crowd was with them, because they went to the crowd and the crowd was singing along with all of their chants.
They went to the crowd early. They came out firing. They showed poise in a very stressful situation they were put in, like they should have. I think Dash and Dawson are great. I know they're very boring, but you know, that's exactly who you want to be your tag team champions in a tag team situation that they're in with NXT. And you know, Enzo and Cass, you know, they don't need belts. You know, it's not really about that. It's really about getting on the main show and doing some good. Now, will they go in there and get screwed up like, you know, Neville or some of these other cats that they, or Tyler Breeze.
That's
the ultimate example.
Ascension.
Yeah, that didn't work too well, did it?
No.
But, you know, the Road Warriors, I would love to see the Road Warriors against the Ascension. I just wanted
to. Well, speaking of the Road Warriors, they're going to be featured in our promo of the week.
Well, I would just hope that if the Ascension would do a match against the 1983-87 Road Warriors, that Victor wouldn't get raped.
We shall see. Dash and Dawson beat Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy to retain the tag championships of NXT.
Really good match. Really good 10-minute tag match. Very good.
The following match, actually, I think, in the pre-tape backstage with Natty and Charlotte with Rick in the corner, I think actually was a really good match. Now, there were some things that were kind of weird about it. I think the spot that bothered me the most was when Natty had Charlotte in the sharpshooter. Rick comes up on the apron and she just breaks the hold. Why?
They botched the end of it and that spot too. I don't know, because maybe they threw that together at the last minute and they didn't really have it put together, and some of the things were off.
The timing was off, maybe.
But I thought the match was great, you know. And Natalia, I know her name. I mess up people's names because I talk too fast in the show. Oh, by the way, while I'm thinking about it, Hayabusa's gimmick was not E, it was H. I made this mistake on the last show. I don't know why I said that. It was obviously H would be the name, not E. Anyway,
it's a rock consonant. It's a vowel. Yeah,
and I'm like, why did I say? I listen back to the show and I go, Jesus Christ! Like I say, Nakamaki instead of Mura. But anyway, you know, hey, if you would have a skin graft and do an hour long show, people, you would make a mistake or two as well. Okay,
it happens. So, we're just riffing here.
Okay,
just
riffing here. It's not Natalia. It's Natalie. That's her name.
So we find out.
3.5 stars.
We find out that Lesnar with Heyman actually is fighting Luke Harper instead of the advertised Bray Wyatt. Now,
Wyatt's hurt. Yeah. Didn't know that until recently. Yeah. Pretty significant back injury, apparently. So,
yeah. I think they knew that there was that possibility even going into it, but they didn't have it confirmed until, I guess, the day of the actual event. So they made a change on the card.
I don't know if I believe them, but that's what they say. You know, this felt a little bit like a bait and switch, but, you know, I had fun watching the match, but I didn't get my advertised match, so that let me down too. But yeah, you know, that makes it, I like Harper. You know, Lesnar's matches are kind of like, you know, squashes almost, and it's starting to kind of grow old on me. I wish they would push Lesnar in a different way. I think that, you know, he should be for the title or not in the scene. You know, that's really what they should push him.
I don't think they did a good job promoting that his appearance on there, but that's neither. Who am I? Sami Zayn versus Stardust.
Someone that uses logic. That's what you are.
Yeah, by the way, Brock beats Harper in 4.
Obviously, that's what's going on.
Sami Zayn versus Stardust. Now, you know what? You may not have liked this match, but I actually did like it.
Okay.
But I can tell you why there's a little bit of maybe weirdness. It's because Stardust is just... He's not the type of... He's a weird heel. He's just a weird heel.
They just didn't mesh right. I don't know. I just got a little bored. And you know, he's really watered down his act so far. I'm not saying he has to wrestle like El Generico, but, you know, Sammy should... I really got bad feeling for Sammy. I really think this poor guy's going to end it. I think I see him just kind of ending up like Neville, honestly. I really don't think they know what to do with them. I've totally lost faith in them to know what to do with NXT people. And I think they almost think they don't know what to do with them, and they're holding it against them. And there's, you know, the money feud is WWE invading NXT, by the way. That would be money. Okay. That would make so much money. You couldn't count it all. But yeah, I'm worried for Sammy. Worried for Sammy a little bit, man. And I love him. That's why I'm worried. I don't say that because I think he's bad or that there's something wrong with what he's doing. I just don't trust the writers and who's ever putting together the finished product at the creative stage worries me, and they don't seem to know what to do with guys like him. So why put him in a match with Stardust in the first place? No, Stardust, we saw how good he was on the Edge and Christian thing, right? Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Fucking hilarious. He's never funny on Raw, or rarely he is. And then you got a guy, Sami Zayn, who can have great matches with just about anybody, have a bad match on pay-per-view. So, I don't know.
Question.
Please.
They were working on an angle with Stardust where Titus O'Neil was kind of coming in and breaking in and doing weird stuff with him before the Royal Rumble.
Before that thing happened.
Before Armgate, you know? But here's the funny thing about it. I think they may have taken the idea for Stardust and transplanted it to his brother. And now we have a situation where Goldust and R-Truth are actually taking that storyline.
Good point. I never thought of that because I guess I didn't care enough to even think about it. But
no one's talked about it because
I think you're exactly right.
I think they took elements of that abandoned storyline and basically morphed it to, you know, to suit Goldust and R-Truth. And
I think you're right.
And that would have been a way to rehab Stardust's character and make him more into a face, but because of what had gone down and some weird stuff happening, they just abandoned that storyline and decided to bring it back. But last but not least, I just want to throw that out there. Last but not least, Ambrose versus Triple H, and I really dug this match as well.
Great match, great match. I was very impressed with this match, and I knew when I said that he would get pinned clean as a sheet. But the damn pedigree, and that's what happened. And, you know, it's like, it's funny. It's just, if you got Triple H on the card, man, he's dangerous to be around. He will win with the pedigree clean, usually, even as a heel. But it was the right thing to do booking-wise, maybe. I don't know.
There was something that I didn't like is the fact that Ambrose used a sharpshooter after Natty used And it just rubs me the wrong way. It's like, you know, you're in Hart country. You know, Natty's on the card. You know, she's going to use a sharpshooter against the figure eight, and then you use the sharpshooter again. That's like I think that's just bad communication. As you said, the agent should have known better than to have that happen in the match. That was not good for me.
So. I mean, I'm a little surprised. That shows me they're not paying attention either. Because if you saw that happen, you'd go, "Oh shit, she's doing a sharpshooter." What do you want to do? And you know, he should be watching that. Triple H. I mean, Christ, it's his show, right?
Well, you know, you would think maybe they did it in order to set up some type of tension that he would get screwed, much like Brett got screwed in Canada.
They need to give that up. That they need to let that whole Brett screw. They got two things. They do the Survivor Series ending forever, and they do Vince McMahon and blah, 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 saying control of the show and they're evil forever. They forever done this. This is going on like 20 years, right? Almost. I mean, it's like until it ends, there is no end. I just can't fathom it. It's like I can't remember a time when it wasn't like that. You know, I don't know.
Well, just really quick, man, moving into Monday Night Raw, just a couple hits and misses. Raw was weird, too. Raw's really weird. I don't know where they're going with this whole McMahon versus McMahon Undertaker thing that they have going on. And once again, I love Shane. I think Shane is great. He's just a likable kind of character, you know. But once again, when the writers are writing something that is completely not what you would say, right, don't you think that Shane should have had the foresight to flip the script and actually speak from the heart instead of trying to recite lines where he flubbed up not once, twice, but maybe three times during the entire promo?
No, he doesn't. That's not what happens anymore. You know, and he hasn't been on TV in a long time, so maybe he just can't. He was never like the promo ace either, if you think back to it. He just had some really cool moments and strange angles that he did. But my lord and master Meltzer saith a few things. One,
okay,
the authority is booked for several dates. Two, Shane is probably just going to do this match. And three, the Undertaker will somehow become babyface by the end of this. So that's all I got for you. It seems like a very boring, all of a sudden, build. I hope they can just get to the match. And blowing it with a bad promo and then blowing it with a bad series of ninja punches is not going to help, you know. But I don't know. They got their 85,000 tickets sold, so whatever. Mm. What were you about to say? You're going to say something pertinent.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you know, everything's fine there.
It's just they're sort of flat with their but they've had a history of that with the Mania builds. They have a grandiose scheme, and the match, you know, the booker books the match. The booker says, "I want Shane to work against the Undertaker, and this will happen to him, and you guys write it." Now, that's where the problem seems to be, the getting to it part. Like, I like Shane against the Undertaker. Sounds great. You know, Triple H, you wanted to be a heel because that's all you got. I understand. And you got to fight Reigns. Well, how do you get from here to there? I don't, you know, that seems to be where they're having the problems. They're writing it so poorly. They're writing things that don't work. And they change it on the fly, like you're saying.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, wrestling works best when you have something that's believable and that's straightforward and not convoluted. Right now, it's convoluted. And if I think too hard about it, it makes my brain hurt, to be quite honest. And I'm a smart guy.
You sure are. You're smarter than an LA writer, I'll tell you that.
Oh, Lord. How about this? Mick Foley passes the torch, handing the barbed wire baseball bat to Mr. Dean Ambrose. I thought that was touching.
Well, they never got to. Yeah, isn't it wonderful that you know, Dean Ambrose, you know, when he was younger, watched all those Japanese IWA matches with Cactus Jack, and then later got, you know, his head sawed with a sawzall because of that. That really is sweet. Those two are friends, you know.
Yeah.
Because of that. That's wonderful bonding. You know, that's the reason they'll never push Ambrose all the way, if you really think about it. He's stained with that memory of those gross CZW matches. I really think that, you know. And they see him as the dirty guy, kind of like they looked at Mick Foley. And if you think about it, Dean Ambrose has the Mick Foley spot, but I don't even think they'll give him that little phantom, you know, week-long title reign, you know. They could have done that to him recently, and it would have been perfect, too. That's what's sad.
God, you know what? You are so, so right. You know, you've got the Samoan, you know, the Rock in Roman Reigns, and then you have the Sock, which is, you know, freaking Dean Ambrose. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Ambrose and Reigns are literally the Rock and Sock connection.
My poor man's version, to be honest with you.
2016.
You know, they ain't going to get no 8.5 or whatever, though, that, like they did for that.
Oh.
You know, the This Is Your Life skit. That's the key difference. And, you know, if we could talk about, you know, Reigns, since we're on the subject,
mm-hmm.
You know, keeping him off TV seemed to be the idea. We'll keep him off of these shows and these markets, and then we'll plug him in at the very end. And, you know, don't tell me some guy got a busted up nose and he's going to be off for 3 weeks. You know, I mean, I'm as a storyline, you know, that does not impress me very much as anything kind of at all. I mean, why sell a guy that short? You know, like, you busted your nose and you can't come out for a few weeks. Like, I really don't give a shit. You know, you know, Dean Ambrose is getting thrown into whatever. And then, you know, this guy's got some blood packets. It's just people notice this shit. And man, okay, let's look into the future. So,
okay,
Roman Reigns wins the title at WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm.
But also we know that Vince knows they're going to boo him out the building. Right. And WrestleMania never really ends. WrestleMania has never really ended. It ended with a poor, like when Jericho did Triple H because they had to follow The Rock and Hogan. It ended kind of flat, but it still had the champion raising his hands up. But this will end with straight up fucking booing. So how are they going to get out of this? How are they going to get out of the WrestleMania not getting booed out the building at the end is the question.
I don't know.
And I know I have all the faith in the world that Triple H probably is the one guy on the current full-time roster that could figure it out, the psychology behind how to do it. But I don't know if it's even possible. You know, and I hear all these rumors like they were going to put on Ambrose and Lesnar last. They're not going to do that. They might do Undertaker Shane last if they, you know, if you think about it. But and then, okay, so then let's say they get out of that somehow. Then you have Reigns with the title as the big. The fans are never going to accept this. They just will not. It's not the same as John Cena. It's not the same as Diesel. That's the two comparisons I hear. Cena was over babyface with shitloads of heat. I remember I watched SmackDown in 2003 and 4. I might have been the only one watching, but I mean, I was watching, and Cena was fucking over as a babyface in 2004, big time.
Mm-hmm.
He went on Raw, and he was still over. They were all excited to see him, and then that heat, that boo cheer heat. But I was in Nashville when I first saw and heard his heat. It was a loud, pulsating heat. Roman's heat's not like that. Now, if you want to compare Roman to Diesel, let me tell you a little bit about Diesel, the lowest drawing champion of all time. Diesel had a shitload of heat. Diesel got turned babyface and it hurt his heat, but he still had positive reactions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bret Hart got a good reaction and Michaels got a great reaction and Razor Ramon got a great reaction too. He was in bad feuds with guys like Mabel. He had a boring match with Davey Boy Smith. But the guy was over as a babyface, okay, in a difficult time. There's really, I think Diesel was a lot more over in his time than Roman Reigns. So, you know, it's like it's boring almost to the IWC. Oh, Roman Reigns isn't over. Oh, he's in the main event. Oh, I'm annoyed. But really, where are we going with all of this? It's not going to work, and you have no plan B.
Well, once again, it's convoluted. And I don't want to think too hard about it. I want to be able to sit back and enjoy, you know, everything else that goes in between. But I want at least a little bit of an idea of where they're going. And I don't know. I don't, you know, sometimes I think it's good that we don't know. But in this case, it's just too damn convoluted. It's hard to follow.
First thing I would do, if they said, okay, we're booking up to Mania, you book the next after that, and I was the booker, I would say, okay, Lesnar beats Ambrose, so he wants a title shot against Reigns, and just have Lesnar go over Reigns and beat his ass and win the belt again. And start back where you were, because you got to start over. This is not happening. This is not happening. I'm so sorry to the shareholders. You know, the fans will not accept him, and the fans are still what matters, believe it or not, you know. It's a different time, and he doesn't know how to book with this type of fan base. I'm telling you, he's finally gotten to the point where he doesn't understand his crowd, right? It took 30, 40 years, you know, but he doesn't understand them. He really doesn't get it. And he thinks he can trick them into doing it, but it's not going to work this time. I'm telling you.
Yeah. Triple H, what do you think about Triple H's at the very end, you know, with Roman getting busted up and all that?
I mean, you know, he's looked very strong. I mean, yeah, he can go ahead and do that. And you know, it was like the other, it was like when they did it in Philly, or no, not Philly. What pay-per-view was that? Oh, is that Survivor Series where he got his ass beat right after he,
yeah.
No, the night after Survivor Series. It was like a retread of that angle where he beats his ass, and sure, whatever. I mean, it worked better that time, but no, it wasn't quite as strong as that. And their heat is off, and Triple H is a good strong heel, and he does have very good wrestling matches, and he's a good heel champion, and he knows how to do everything he has to do. It's really quite obvious, though, that Roman's, it's just not going to work. Yeah. And he's doing everything they need to do, but the crowd's not, just not in pro. Roman just doesn't cut good promos. That's really,
well, I tell you, Hunter cut a really damn good promo.
Exactly, because he's good.
You know, he cut a great promo, and it was really good. I was into it. And then at the very end, you know, Reigns comes out, chases him in, and then, you know, Triple H is sitting there, and he's, you know, trying to fight it off. And it's like, after a match that he had, and then with Reigns coming in, I mean, that's kind of a heelish move after to come in after a match and then to beat up another guy. Is it not?
They're trying anything they can think of. They want him to be this rebellious guy. They want him to be this sweet guy. They don't know what to do. They're trying anything they can do. You know, keeping him off TV, this will work. I mean, it's like, I know how they won't boo him. I know how they won't boo him. He won't be on. What kind of logic is that, you know?
I don't know.
You know, the network is to blame. The network is to blame. You watch old NWA episodes, then you watch this, and you're just like, I don't know what you're trying to do.
I don't know either. Well, here we are, wrapping up to the show. This is our promo of the week. As promised, we have some great video, interesting promo from the Road Warriors. In fact, I'm going to back up this tape. Back up a tape? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, the Road Warriors mean business in the ring. Is the point of the promo? They mean business.
Oh Lord! Oh, they mean business. All right. So here we are, Road Warrior Hawk, in one of his more infamous promos for our promo of the week. Get out that ass cream.
Promo of the week.
Yeah, these guys are ready for the 24th and ready for the bench press contest.
Take a look. I just seen it killing one line for a band. We've been doing a little bit of best pressure in the ring and best pressure in the gym. We ain't playing around. We've built our reputation on being a couple of bad apples in Chicago, being the strongest men in professional wrestling, and we ain't gonna let you or anybody else try to ruin our reputation. All these people are gonna see Greensboro not very long away. Who the strongest wrestlers are in the world? Tell them, Hawk. Tony Schiavone, don't you look swell today? Oh boy! Hey, listen up. There's been a lot of sports writers and sports editors flapping their yaps about us getting soft. Does this look soft to you, Paul? Does this look soft to you? Well, I'll tell you what. There's one part of our bodies that's soft, and it ain't soft all the time, if you catch my meaning. Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about! Because from the time I get in the ring with you, Guppy, it's gonna be a hard night, all night long. And you can forget about your limousines, your pretty girls, and your diamond rings. Because they don't mean diddly do squat when I get done with you. When I get done with you, Space Mountain will be closed for repairs. Tell them, Paul.
You know, Tony Schiavone, I've heard
Paul
Jones, but it appears to me he has a monomaniacal obsession with the Legion of Doom. Well, there's two places I know you'll be able to find us. One is January 20th in Hawaii, and the next day is January 21st in LA. So if you're feeling froggy, Paul Jones, just jump in. You and your men, we're going to be in Hawaii, and LA will be looking for you.
Yeah, we snack on danger, and we dine on death.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony Schiavone.
Hawk straight up ready to rape Ric Flair for the title. You know, Dan, it's going to be hard.
All night long. Space Mountain will be closed for repairs.
That, you know,
that's the only thing on my body that's not soft, if you catch my meaning.
I've heard Flair do one on Garvin, like Ronnie Garvin, where he said, he said, pretty soon, Garvin, I'm going to end the pleasurable part of this relationship. I'm going to get up off my back, turn you over, and I'm going to take you home. So the NWA has like a history of these sort of male-on-male rape fantasy promos. I'm going to end the pleasurable part of this relationship. I'm like, wow, this is – he's so funny.
So funny.
Hawk and Ric Flair, I know they had some good Great American Bash main events, but they have a match again at the Bunkhouse Stampede 87 or 88, which actually kind of sucks, but their match is really good. Hawk versus Ric. If you've ever seen Hawk – excuse me, in a singles match, that one's excellent.
Well, you know, Hawk is a great worker. You know, rest in peace, Hawk. But
such a tremendous amount of heat, too, talking about people having heat like Reigns doesn't. Mick Foley joked in his book, he came out for some show, and he said, I got such a huge pop that I looked behind me to see if Mike Hegstrand was standing there. You know,
exactly.
That was the thing. Like, the Road Warriors had the big pops and had the heat. He said, I thought Hegstrand must have been standing behind me. I couldn't figure out why I had such a big pop that night.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, rest in peace.
Stone Cold. You know, they talk about that quite a bit, the Road Warrior pop. And it's because not only do they have just devastating maneuvers and great tag team wrestling, but just a lot of fun, high energy promos. That one in particular was interesting point of language there from Rock. So
yeah, that's always been one of my favorites. I heard it the other day, and I walked into the kitchen just to play it for Terry. I said, you must hear this promo, because I think Hawk is ready to
break out the ass cream
and get Ric Flair in bed. I thought they were gonna have a match, but it's a lot more going on than I thought.
Well, once again, wrapping up the show, I do have a big announcement for everybody. Steven and I are going to be having a mega, mega live podcast for WrestleMania weekend. Are you excited about this? This is exciting, right?
I'm very excited. It'll probably be the most exciting thing to happen all year, because I don't go anywhere.
Well, we're going to talk about NXT. We're going to talk about, of course, the Hall of Fame. And then we're also going to talk live during the Omega broadcast, which is WrestleMania. And it's going to be live, and you all will have an opportunity to watch it with us. And when I say watch it with us, I'm talking about you and I doing commentary while we all sit there and watch WrestleMania live and take live callers and all really cool things using our social media. So if you want to participate, be sure to follow us on social media at Pro Wrestling Cast or at P Wrestling Cast on Twitter to find out when we go live and to join in on all the fun. And of course, that podcast will be available, also available for download on demand and, on iTunes as well as YouTube. So that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous show, video and audio. And I think, you know, a lot of people are going to try to do something like this, but I think we have the platform. We're going to have a nice news desk, and it's going to be pretty awesome when it's all said and done. I'm very excited to be doing a live broadcast with my broadcast colleague. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun, and we always have a good time, and there's always a good time to be had, and our lovely wives love to hang out, and they're wrestling fans too, you know. So it's always a big joyful time to hang at your homestead.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can people find you on the interwebs there?
Dr. Death Mark. I just watched a Dr. Death match a little bit before the show. It's Dr. Death versus Barry Windham at a Starcade, and it was very disappointing. It was awesome, and it ended too fast. I got very upset. It says 10 minutes. That's not enough Dr. Death for me. I'm very upset.
Maybe Dr. Death, rest his soul, ran into the Road Warriors in the back, and they shut down Space Mountain.
That's the one guy that I would pick him over those two. I mean, that was a big fucking dude back in 1987, Dr. Death. That was a really scary-looking dude.
That's awesome. You can find us, find me once again at Jedi Mouseketeer as well. And once again, just hit up Pro Wrestling Cast. We have all of our great links there: Amazon, WWE Shop, WWE Network, and High Spots. Please support the show and tell a friend about Pro Wrestling Cast. If you dig this show, we really would appreciate it if you tweet it out and share you're listening to this podcast and give us those 5-star reviews on iTunes. We really would appreciate it. In the meantime, till next week, I'm Al John Go. On behalf of Stephen Anthony, don't forget to tuck your head, and we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Thanks for checking out Pro Wrestling Cast. If you've got a question or comment, leave us a voicemail at 615-9339-PWC. That's 615-9339-792. Follow us on Facebook at Pro Wrestling Cast and on Twitter at P Wrestling Cast, or email us at ProWrestlingCast@gmail.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
The opinions and ideas presented in these podcasts are those of Pro Wrestling Cast and are for entertainment purposes.
You're awesome. Thank you so much, Mr. Funk, for saying what needed to be said.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are currently holding for further traffic clearance.
Check out Kristen's new website, magicaljourneysvacations.com, for all your vacation needs. Disney, Universal, cruise lines, and more.
Thank you for traveling with us.
magicaljourneysvacations.com.
Have her book your magical vacation today.